adventurers, attention! Fall in for Adventure Parade!
The Mutual Broadcasting System cordially invites all adventurers from sex to sex day to join in its parade of the world's most famous stories. Stories of action, mystery, and adventure. And here is your host and storyteller, the leader of Adventure Parade, John Gregg. Thank you, George Hogan, and hello, adventurers. Today is Thanksgiving Day.
That's one thing I know.
Why, George, you look positively stuffed.
I am, even more than the turkey was.
Wonderful holiday, Thanksgiving.
I agree, but do you know what it means?
How's that again?
Do you know what Thanksgiving stands for?
Oh, yes. The Pilgrims had a big feast at the end of their first year in the colony of Plymouth, Massachusetts.
That they were celebrating. That's right, George. The Pilgrims were celebrating the end of a long search. A search for a home where they could think as they please, say what they please, and worship as they please. Originally, you see, the Pilgrims were all English citizens who were forced to flee to Holland because they disagreed with the practices of the Church of England. Here, in the Dutch city of Leiden, they set up homes and shops and secretly printed books preaching freedom of religion, which were smuggled back into England. They then made plans to start a permanent colony in America.
And it was the home of William Brewster, who operated the secret printing press in Leiden, that the English spy, known as Squint Eye, came.
Exactly, George. So now let's get on with Chapter 4, transcribed of The Bells of Leiden Sing, by Catherine Coblet.
Rembrandt Van Rijn reported that Elder William Brewster
had escaped safely from the secret tunnel and was now far beyond the city limits of night. Andrew Brewster burst into the door of Israel's bookshop and slammed it angrily behind him. It had been 9 months since the night the soldiers had searched his house on the Sine Sea. 9 months of increasing anxiety for the family. For since that night, there had been no word of his father, William Brewster.
Good, whatever has happened, be as serious as you look, Andrew.
Andrew, what has happened to my father?
Don't you know that he has reached England?
I don't know any. All winter he did not write us even once. And when I asked whether he's going with us across the sea, my older brother Jonathan shouts and says, be quiet. And my mother only wipes her eyes and turns away.
Yeah, isn't so.
And there's another thing that bothers me. The Speedwell is being fitted out in the harbor. And all the Dutch sailors on the dock say we're heading into trouble if we use such an old ship to try to get to America.
A part of Pastor Robinson's congregation is getting ready to sail westward, is it?
Yes. You know that the plans for going to Virginia fell through.
Yeah, but then the Dutch government at The Hague offered to send you to New Amsterdam.
Yes, but just before the agreement was to be signed, a man by the name of Thomas Weston came here from London and put all the Pilgrim families in a jitter over a new company called the Merchant Adventurers.
The Merchant Adventurers?
Yes. They are English businessmen who want to invest in us and send us to America to settle in English colonies. So we can ship goods back to London for them to sell at a profit.
Go on.
Well, the other day I heard Weston urging Elder Bradford to settle in London. Bradford says that no one wants to go to that cold, forsaken place. But that's probably where we'll end up.
You are discouraged.
I'm worried.
Andrew.
Yes, dear.
Did it ever strike you as strange that this Thomas Weston appeared in writing just when Pastor Robinson and Elder Bradford were about to accept an offer from the Dutch? Who do you think was in England and spread the news of Pilgrim activities here?
You mean it was my father?
Andrew, I can tell you no more. It is not wise for you to know more.
I think I understand.
Then go home and help your mother with the packing. Take the most of your remaining days in Leiden, Andrew. They are numbered.
Will you care when by the first with the table and the cabinet, a nice dinner table?
Oh, the silver one.
Jonathan, put those candlesticks with the silver. Now, where shall I put those green cushions? Andrew!
Yes, Mama.
Andrew, are you sure your chest is packed full? I've never looked at it.
Yes, it's all packed, Mother.
Just the same, bring in the key, and let's see whether we can repack it and make room for these green cushions.
But, Mother, I tell you, it's full.
Please, do as I say, Andrew. The Speedwell must be loaded by tomorrow.
The shadow of a frown crossed Andrew's face. He knew his mother would never allow him to keep the iron screw from the printing press in his chest. All that extra poundage, she would say, for a boy's fancy.
Andrew, I want the key to your chest.
He reached in his pocket for the key, and then his heart jumped with thankfulness. The key was not there. Instead, there was a small hole.
I can't find it, Mother.
Well, look for it, then.
There's a hole in my pocket. It must have fallen out.
I declare, Andrew, sometimes I think you will never grow up. I suppose you'll have to get the lock from you. Yes? Enter.
Elder Bradford.
Come in.
The packing is almost completed.
Seems
you're ready for the trip to England.
Yes. Jonathan and the girls are sorting the things they don't need, such as William's book.
William's book? We must take him, Mr. Speaker. They are food for the spirit.
And what will we women have to feed the body if you take up room on the Speedwell with books?
Provisions are being collected for us in England by Master Weston with the Merchant Adventurers Company.
Aye. And after Weston has lined his own pocket, he'll buy precious little food. And I understand no butter goes. You men have decided butter is a luxury, and that we can get along with marrow from the bones of wild beasts.
Perhaps, Mrs. Brewster, if the money holds out, some London butter might
have crossed. Stale and smelling to high heaven. And here we are in Leiden, where the best butter in all the world. Elder Bradford.
Yes,
you want William's books aboard.
it has been.
Then I'll pack them when I know that at least 80 tubs of Leiden's best butter and cheese are stored in the hold of the freezer.
Oh, but
what butter, sir? That is my final wish.
As Andrew had expected, his mother won the argument, and the butter was stored aboard the next day, along with his chest containing the precious iron screw, which Mistress Brewster must have forgotten to get. Two days later, at the High Dyke Gate, those children who were to sail on the Speedwell were loaded on a barge. Jonathan and Patience and Sophia Brewster were to wait for the next trip a year later. So they stood on shore, waving to their mother and Andrew, with a soon sweeping under the south gate of the city. For the last time, Andrew heard the ringing of the university bell. And just as the barge moved out into the harbor, he saw more people join his brother and sister, all waving goodbye. There was Professor Polyander in his great cloak, and Israel, the bookseller, in a cape beside him. Andrew looked and looked, as though he could never see enough of the walled city. How beautiful its towers were, how many and fine its churches. Suddenly he hugged Pompey close and buried his face in the dark silk black coat.
Andrew, is that your friend on the wall? There?
Andrew looked up. There by the dyke gate was chubby Rembrandt Van Rijn, upside down, his legs spinning back and forth like a jumping jack. He was turning cartwheels and waving goodbye to his friends. Everyone aboard the barge laughed. The antics of the bus boy seemed to break the nervous
people. And bless Rijn, it's the best city in the whole world.
And we can prove it too much, for we have lived here.
And so ends Chapter 4, transcribed of Catherine Coblenz's story, The Bells of Light.
Don, I have a question.
Yes, George?
Well, something's a little confusing. The Pilgrims came to America on the Mayflower, not on this other ship.
The Speedwell, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened to the Speedwell, and when does the Mayflower come in?
Tomorrow, George, when we hear the very exciting climax of our story. Till then, so long.
So long, John. We'll all be listening tomorrow, same time, same station, for the fifth and final chapter of The Bells of Leiden Sing on Mutual's Adventure Parade. The Bells of Leiden Sing was adapted for Adventure Parade by permission of Longman, Green & Company.